Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow.
Father, we just worship you. And we bless you. Thank you for alighting upon us and resting upon us like a clean blanket over a mattress, Lord. Just alighting upon us. Thank you for the blood. That washes white as snow. That makes inward intimacy possible and available. Thank you for your word. Administer it by your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue our series this morning. This will be our fourth hour on trials and tests and so forth. Let's go to John 16:33 in the New Living Translation. Jesus said, I've told you all this so that you may have peace where? In me. Not in the right set of circumstances, but in me. Here on earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows. Everybody see that? All the charismatics see it. You're going to have some trials and sorrows. You try to pray them all away, but you're going to have them. Take heart, Jesus said, because I've overcome the natural world for you. We're going to have distress and frustration and trial and tribulation. That's the amplified version of John 16:33. And we can try to pray them away. We can beg God, oh, Father, please don't let me have any problems. Father, aren't you glad the Lord doesn't answer all our prayers? We might just pray ourselves into immaturity because we never learn to push against resistance. We never learn what it is to overcome. Never learn what it is to trust Him through adversity. How about this one? Father, please just cause everyone to love me the right way, the way I receive love, so that I won't have any difficulty loving people. Well, you can try as you might, but you're going to have them. Touch your neighbor and say you're going to have them. Matthew chapter 7:24, this backs it up. Jesus is speaking, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, hey, I like him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And look what happened. The rain descended. The floods came and the winds blew, but this guy's a doer of the word. He's a good guy. But look what happened. The rain descended, floods came, winds blew, and it beat on that house. It beat on his house. It didn't fall, though, because it was founded on the rock, the truth. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and he doesn't do them, well, he's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And guess what happened to him? Well, the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on his house, too. And it fell. Great was its fall. So both houses encountered three tests. The first one is rain. Rain in Scripture connotes blessing. How many of you know that blessing, money, provision can be a test to your house? Absolutely. Everybody thinks the tests are just the hard times when we don't have enough. How about the test when you have more than enough? Rain connotes blessing in Scripture. So there's the test of success. And then the flood. Well, we know that Scripture says in Isaiah that when the enemy comes in like a flood, so it represents the enemy. The enemy is going to come against your house. It's going to happen, especially if you love the Lord. He'll persecute you because of the word's sake. Don't take it personal. It's for the word's sake. And then how about winds? Lies. Winds of doctrine. Faulty belief systems. Miscommunication. Anybody have miscommunication blow through your house in your marriage? You're like, are you talking about today? Yes, today. Right now. Misconceptions. Misconceptions. How about even deception? You need to have good communication. So one guy hears the word and does it. One guy hears the word, doesn't do it, but both faced adversity. Anybody had any storms recently? Now, I'm not just talking about today. Storms, trials. There's warfare going on. Okay, there's a war going on. The kingdom of heaven suffers opposition. There's good versus evil going on. There's the nature of God and the nature of Lucifer going on planet Earth. There's a war going on. Light versus darkness. These things are happening. And so we're going to face some of these maybe setbacks. In the midst of war, you might have some setbacks. And I know we've won in the end. Amen. The victory is already won. We're just administrating it. But there's struggles. And when you go through some dark times, you can struggle in your feelings and in your relationship with the Lord. You don't feel very good. And so my point is that we're all going to have it. If we're willing to take the mask off, we can be there for each other. Amen. Nobody wears masks to Grace Church, right? I'm great. Everything's great. Blessed. We've been camped right here in Micah chapter 7 verse 8, where he prophetically warns his enemy, don't rejoice over me, because when I fall, I'll rise again. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. The Lord won't let me not read this to you. As a mighty group of warriors in him. And if you don't see yourself as a warrior, as above not beneath, as valiant, and men and women of valor in Christ, you need to humble yourself and agree with how he sees you, because that's how he sees you. Amen. And so I declare this to you every week because he tells me to. Don't rejoice over me, devil. When I fall, I'll rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. And of course, darkness here is not sin. It's the absence of light. It means to obscure. You can't see your way out. You're not sure what to do. You found yourself in a situation. How about this? You don't know why you're in it. You don't even know how you got in it. Things like maybe an unexpected divorce or loss of a career. You're getting ready to retire and they cut you loose. That's a trial. Death of a spouse, married to somebody for 22 years, and now they're gone. That's a trial. It's going to change some things. Might obscure, and your feelings too, might obscure the truth. So we got to be able to find the Lord's light in the midst of trying times. Because how many of you know if we flesh out, we're liable to compound whatever the issue is. If we flesh out, we're liable to make bad choices and make things worse. And compound things. So we got to rest. We got to find the Lord's light amidst darkness. Amen. Especially when we don't feel very good about things. You guys ever seen a young person in high school whose boyfriend or girlfriend breaks up with him? Maybe cheats on him and the whole thing goes down in flames. And then she just, next available guy, just settles. She's heard over this. She doesn't understand this. Then she runs out and makes a poor decision. That's what we're talking about. When you sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to you. So wait on him. Let him bring light so we're not making decisions out of our feelings. Truth is what we need to base our decisions on. And the voice of the Lord and the Word of God, not how we feel. We've talked about how do we find some light? How do we realize that we're not powerless in darkness? The first one is you have the power of choice. That's the first one we covered. The power of choice. And can I get a witness? You might be in the dark, not because of your own choice, but because of somebody else's. But they, no matter what they've done to you, they can't rob you of your choice in the present tense and how we're going to respond. I told you last week, God honors your choice. He will honor your choice. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're choosing bitterness and anger and I'm going to run away from God, I'm going to blame God, it's his fault that I lost my dad or whatever, he's going to pursue you. But he will honor your choice because you can't have love without a choice. And then also your choice determines your quality of life more than anybody else's. Please remember that. Your choices. You're not a victim. Your choices determine your quality of life far more than somebody else who's done something to you. Number two is the power of perspective and focus. Your perspective is greater than your reality because you're going to live and act and cop an attitude based on what you think is true. Even if it's not true. Matthew 6:22 and 23. Jesus said, if your eye is good, literally if your eye is healthy, I love that, your whole body will be full of light. And probably a lot healthier as well. Whatever has your attention has you. Whatever you focus on, you get full of. So that's why this morning we came in and we chose to look at God. No matter what's going on around us, we're going to look at God, because whatever I focus on, I get full of. That's why we love worship. So we can magnify Him, let Him get bigger and bigger. That's what magnify means. Magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt His name together. Because the things of the earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. The eye is the lamp of the body, Jesus said. I think it's important what we're looking at. Very important what we're looking at. People tend to find what they're looking for. They tend to find what they're looking for. Somebody comes to church here and says, well, you're not very friendly. I don't like this place. People tend to find what they're looking for. Somebody comes here and they're looking for the living God and a vibrant people who love Him. They'll find Him. How about 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6? In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. But you're rejoicing. Why? That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. I love that. Don't think it's weird you're going through something. As though some strange thing is going on. But rejoice. Everybody say rejoice. To the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. Wow. We try to rebuke that, but it's in the Bible. That when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Amen. Your perspective, are you viewing your trials as to what they're doing to you or what they're doing for you? Because that's what 1 Peter is talking about. And he goes on, 1 Peter 1 talks about the saving of your soul. I think my soul got saved yesterday at prayer shield. My spirit's already saved. Okay, I'll explain that to you. Your soul is always in the process of being saved. So your spirit is saved, your soul is being saved, and your body will be saved at the second coming of Christ. But I'm telling you, we came in here yesterday, small portion of us, and there's some opposition when we started, but we set our minds. We set our minds. We began to worship Him. We began to welcome Him. And I tell you, He just ran us down and ran us smooth over. Be still and know that I'm God. A holy hush fell over prayer shield yesterday. Holiness like I haven't experienced in a long time. But here's this amazing, holy God who loves us enough to fill us with Himself. Amen? Not holy like, hey, you're no good. But so holy and yet so loving and kind. Even as Sister Gretchen was talking about, Jesus standing on the rooftop proclaiming that He belongs to you. Not just that we shout it, but He shouts it. I'll never forget in John 15 when I first read that, where it says, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. My next question was, why? Why would you choose me? Limited choices? You know what he said to me? He said, because you wouldn't choose yourself. Because you wouldn't choose yourself. So I know you're well aware that you need me. You need me. Man, Lord, help us to believe what you see we are. Help us to believe what you see that we are. And we believe, amen, so help thou our unbelief when we don't. You know, a lot of times we live too much by what we feel. We just do. So first, Peter, I gave those to you because perspective. How are you looking at what your trials can do for you? Whether it's patience, whether it's all glory to God, or the Spirit of Christ being revealed in and through you. Let's go to the third one. The power of godly counsel. You're not powerless in a trial. You're in pain and suffering. Thank God for godly counsel. Amen. One person. Hallelujah. And I had to beg for that. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, plans are established. Proverbs 11:14, where there's no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. How many of you know if a young high school girl doesn't just run out to the next boy that asks her out or whatever, but gets some good godly counsel through her loss, she'll make a better decision. I think I got some other ones here. How about Proverbs 24:6, in a multitude of counsel, there's safety. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he who heeds counsel is wise. We need good and godly counsel around us. I love some of your family members, but they don't give you very much godly counsel. We need good, yes, but we need godly counsel. You know, some people are too close to you. And all the pain you feel, they've doubled it in themselves. So if you're in a dark place, please don't take counsel from someone who's in a dark place. 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good morals. And we got the Lord. When we're in a trial, we're not powerless. We got the Lord. We got the indwelling Holy Ghost. And we have each other. We have each other. And I know what the culture is like. We live in a very individualized culture. Everybody do what you want. Everybody keep to yourself. That's not New Testament Christianity. Sometimes I wonder if they don't call us a cult if we're really doing it right. Oh my God, I lost them right there. What I mean is, we love each other so much. We're for each other so much. We're willing to help each other so much. The world thinks it's weird. Is that better? You feel better? Did you hear what he said? My uncle told me they were a cult. So we got each other. We are family, right? Like the song says. We need to remember that. That we're there for each other. We uplift each other. Scripture says we belong to each other. Scripture says that we're part of each other. I'm not even independent from you, and yet we live in a culture that screams independence. That's not the kingdom of heaven on the earth. Heaven is not a celebration of everybody's independence from God. It's all dependence. This idea that all we need is God is not true. We do need each other. Even in creation, in Genesis, what was the one thing he said wasn't good? That man was alone. God made us for a relationship with each other. We need to have bonds that exist beyond an hour on Sunday. Amen. That's why persecution helps. You know, in China and places like that, they come together. Because this is life or death. They're not like, I don't know, I got golf today. Can I tell you something honestly from my heart? Why do I care about your church attendance? Why do I even care about your discovery group attendance? Why do I care that you get together with other good Christian people? Here's why. Because it helps you. It doesn't have anything to do with, oh, I get my strokes because we had this many people on Sunday. Who cares? I'm saying to you, the Word of God and good Christian people, it's good for you and it's good for your relationship with God. And I care about you, so I care about it. Amen. Amen. Grace Church started in our home 20 years ago in October. Can I get a witness? It's changed a little. It's changed a little. There's no way I can have the same relationship with people I did in my living room. But I tell you, I'm recommitted to intentionality. To know people. I want to know you. I want to know your name. I realize I can't know everybody on the same level, but that's okay. I want to be able to express to you that I care what happens to you. I really do. And the Lord put that in my heart. That's not Steve Eden. That's Jesus Christ in and through Steve. That cares what happens to you. If you're new here and I've never met you, I'd love for you to stick around after service and shake my hand. Introduce yourself to me. Stacy would love to meet you as well. And it goes far beyond that. We have a wonderful staff. We have other elders. We have discovery group facilitators. We have, you know, a loving church. And we got to know each other beyond an hour on Sunday. I mean, that's just the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible teaches. And you're going to have to fight with me the individualism of the culture that just says, we don't need anybody, man. I'm my own brand. Did you know it's in our wiring to belong to something bigger than yourself? It's actually in our wiring by God's design. In the New Testament, the word greet, you've probably heard, you know, greet one another with a holy kiss. It's in there a handful of times. But this word greet in the New Testament is not flippant. Hey, it's not that. It means to express authentic care for each other. So we're instructed to greet one another. Greet one another. Not flippantly, but express care. You look at John chapter 10, and it deals with hirelings. Hirelings don't care about the sheep. They run away when there's problems. They leave the sheep to die. Religious people don't lay their lives down for the sheep. And what I'm saying is that Jesus is building authentic community. And that's part of who we are as Christians. Listen to me. This is not a church growth plan. This is the Bible, that we have authentic, real love one for another, that we're there for each other. We can counsel each other through dark times. Amen. He's building authentic community. He reminded me this week of what he told me in 2015. He said, I'm building a net at Grace Church, and the tighter the net, the more fish we catch. He's building a net. The tighter the net, the more fish we catch. I got a lot of thoughts rolling through my head. The Lord wants Grace Church to become so anointed, so genuine, so authentic, so vibrant with the life of Christ. We don't just offer Jesus to people. We offer ourselves to people. That we would be so in love with Him. Love God and love your neighbor. So understanding of authentic Christian community in an individualized nation. That we wouldn't just offer Christ, we would offer ourselves to people. That we wouldn't just speak the truth, we would speak the truth in love for people. That we wouldn't just offer spiritual needs to be met, we would offer relational needs to be met. Does man have relational needs? Yes, indeed he does. That's our Father's desire. Do you mind if we pray into it? Father, in Jesus' name, We embrace your idea of such authentic Christendom, such biblical Christianity, that we don't just offer each other and a hurting world, we offer ourselves to them. And Lord, we don't just offer truth, we speak the truth in love. And we don't just offer spiritual needs to be met, but even relational needs, that we would pour into each other. We would be intentional about knowing each other. Lord, we embrace your word and your picture of New Testament church. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. How about this? Our love for each other is to be the greatest indisputable evidence that we're new creation believers. I'm going to say it again. Our love for each other is to be the greatest indisputable evidence we are new creation believers born of the same Spirit. Our love for each other, the greatest evidence that we are who we say we are. And it's insane because you go to these church growth things. Well, I haven't been to one in years and years. Shut up, devil. You're not stealing this from me. You look at all the church growth stuff and what can we do to build the church and how are we going to have an impact? And I got an idea. L-O-V-E. If you think the early church out-argued and out-programmed and out-children's ministried the pagans, you are sadly mistaken. They out-loved the pagans. That's how thousands were added. Thousands were added. The evidence of the fullness of the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Here's a novel church growth idea. Let's love each other. You say, preacher, I don't know where you got that. Well, here it is. John 13:35. By this, Jesus said, all men will know you're my disciples if you love each other. You see how we overcomplicate it? New Living Translation, your love for one another will prove to the world you belong to me. It's our love for each other. What a novel idea. How can we help the staff? How can we develop the staff? How can we do this? How can we do this in the church? How about love? Because this is a fact. Whatever you love will grow. Whatever you love will grow. You love your spouse like Christ loves the church and loves your spouse. Your relationship's going to grow. Come on, I'm telling you the truth. You love your husband like Christ, your relationship will grow. You love your children like Christ, they'll grow. And I'm talking about love as a verb, not as I have mushy feelings for people and things. Right? You love your plants. If you love on your plants, they're going to grow. Not because you say, well, I feel mushy about the plants. If you don't do anything, they're not going to grow. Whatever you love will grow. Why? Because love never fails. A resurrection of genuine love within the body of Christ. We learn it from Him. We know this from Him. Just like at Prayer Shield yesterday, when He rushes in. Yes, there's a holy hush. Yes, there's incredible holiness and awe of God. But I can't remember being filled with love so much in such a long time as yesterday. And so I know love from Him. And I know it because it's truth, but I know it experientially too. I've experienced Him. Jesus is not dead. He's a living person. I don't believe in Jesus because the Bible said. I believe in the Bible because of Jesus. Because He's that real to me. And in John 14:21, He said, whoever loves me will be loved by me and loved by the Father, and I'll come to them and I'll show myself to them. And if you read the amplified version of John 14:21, He said, I'll manifest myself to him. I'll literally show myself to you and you'll be clearly seen by me. And we can experience Him. That's why we need the Holy Spirit in our churches. He's the executive producer of Jesus to us, but then also through us. Authentic community is in the Bible. There's households of faith all throughout Scripture. There's pockets of people who came together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Am I the only one who sees that in the culture of America, there's just so much independence and individualism that can be lost our value together? So Jesus comes and He establishes the kingdom of heaven on the earth. This is His goal. Did He do it individually or did He develop pockets of community? He called people collectively. Yes, He called them individually, but the 12 were together. The 70 were together. Amen. And they didn't just love each other, they loved the world. That's what I'm saying. The early church outloved the pagans, not out-argued them or out-theologued them. I mean, the church spends so much of her time arguing with each other. How about we come together on whom we believe? Yes. Rather than what you believe in your finite mind. How are we ever going to be united in our mind and what we believe until we're on the other side? Right, Ephesians 4, work hard to keep the unity of the Spirit until you come to the unity of the faith. So our unity is in the Spirit. How do I go meet with these other pastors, predominantly African American? In Midwest City. How do I do that? Because I'm not there to argue about what we believe. I'm there to come together around Jesus Christ, whom they love and whom I love. Amen. That's how that happens. Everybody say, he's bigger. He's bigger. You want to know why people argue so much on doctrine and theology and all that? Because their security is in what they believe. My security is not in what I believe because I'm fallible as a human being. I do not know every single thing. I have not interpreted every bit of scripture perfectly, I'm quite sure. I have a good grasp on it because I know the author. But my security is in whom I believe. The person of Christ who loves me and lives in me. And who loves you so much and gets me up every Sunday before my alarm goes off. Seriously. To communicate to you how much he loves you, how much he cares about you. He is the embodiment. He is the good shepherd. He loves you. I'm not the one that Stacy's got to roll out of bed and say, dude, it's Sunday, come on. Don't you love that joke I've told you before about the preacher? Remember that one? Or, yeah, you want to hear it again? Yeah. So, thanks, Kyle. I was just waiting for a reason. This guy, you know, mama's coming to dad, says, hey, honey, we got to go to church. Let's go. He's like, man, I don't want to go. And so she comes back later and says, honey, we got to go to church. And he's like, I don't want to go. Those people are mean. And then she comes back later and says, honey, we've got to go to church. You're the pastor. Right, Brother Tony? You've been there? Look at this. James 5:16. Look at this. Confess your trespasses to each other. Pray for each other that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Look at that. This is the church right here. Confess your faults to each other. Help each other. Pray for each other that you may be healed. That's what I mean. If we take off the mask, we're all dealing. We all deal with stuff. Healing rarely happens in isolation. Healing rarely happens in isolation. So you see a group there. And then Luke 5:19. When they couldn't find how they might bring their buddy in, these four guys had a friend. Man, these are good friends here. There's too much crowd. So they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling right in front of Jesus. These are real friends right here. He doesn't need a night out with the guys. He doesn't need booze. He doesn't need women. He doesn't need gambling. He needs Jesus. Let's cut a hole in the top and lower this guy down. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Those are good friends. Those are good friends. They literally bore his burden. They carried him to Jesus. They carried him to Jesus. Amen. That's so powerful. Here's Galatians 6:2, New Living Translation. Share each other's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Sometimes it takes great love from people before someone can experience great healing from God. Sometimes it takes great love from people before they can experience great love or healing from God. That's what this gentleman with the bed experienced, real love from his friends. And then he experienced healing. Too many churches don't care if people are okay. They just want them to act like they're okay. Too many churches don't care if people are okay. Just please act like you're okay. God forbid. God forbid. We're in the healing business. We're offering Christ, but we're offering ourselves. We're offering spiritual needs, but we're offering relational needs. All this is based upon godly counsel. Why? Because we need good people around us. And when you're hurting and you're in the dark, you have the power of godly counsel. Don't let pride keep you from asking for help. We have a brother here. He's been here several years and has really struggled. Got some real struggles. But he is currently experiencing great healing through four brothers who simply invited him to dinner once a week. And now we're starting to see the fruition of that. Gavin, you guys can go ahead and come. Healing rarely happens in isolation. But can I get a witness that when you are hurting, you don't feel well, you don't feel like talking to God, the enemy's pushing you away from godly counsel. He's wanting to push you into isolation. The enemy goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Why does the lion roar at its prey? To isolate it, to scare it. Well, I sense the spirit of this thing is in your spirit. I do. This area needs a church that is full of the love of God, full of inward relationship and intimacy with Christ, who are willing to offer themselves to people to help. To offer ourselves to help people. I think this is the last one. I almost made it. Blessed is the man who walks. See, watch the progression here. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. There's a progression there. We start walking with people who aren't giving us good counsel. Then we stand with them and talk, and then we sit down with them. Let's don't do that. Verse 2 is what we're going to do. Our delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law we meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Amen. Let's stand together. The Lord's point is this morning, we need each other. Guys, we do. And it's good, just do things. We went to the lake with the Ramers yesterday. They didn't kill us, praise God. Not even close. Hung out on the boat. Just having relationship. And guys, I'm telling you, when new people come, and Sister Gretchen mentions it from time to time, guests are answered prayer. We're praying for guests. We're praying for, and not the highest, best, and most lovely. We're praying for broken, hurting, people who need to see Jesus with arms on. People who need to experience authentic love and authentic community. So we join hands together. Yeah, go across the aisle. Let's be radical. Amen. I want you to lift your brother or sister's hand. Just lift it up. Father, in Jesus' name, we lift each other up. You set the members. You call people together. Would you forgive us, Lord, for our individualism at times when we elevate isolation over community? And would you use us, Father God, would you use us to be a demonstration of the New Testament church of authentic love beyond our differences? And that, Lord, we would be good, rich, godly counsel one to another. And that all pride, Lord, would be banished from our minds, our lips, and from this house, that we would come together and we'd never be too afraid or too ashamed to ask for help. We all have things we battle. We all have the flesh that we contend with. So cast out all pride, Father, in Jesus' name. We be there for each other. We undergird each other. I pray that you heal relationships that need to be healed. I pray you restore things that need to be restored. And now, Lord, maybe even more important than all that, birth some things that need to be birthed in our hearts. We love you, Father, and we love each other, which is the uttermost demonstration and evidence that we're your followers, is our love for each other. We bless you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give Him praise together and magnify the Lord with me.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.